this series from the standpoint of the biblical view of stewardship, and that's what we want to deal with for the next few minutes. So you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8, beginning to read at verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in the great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Consequently, we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. May God bless to us his word. The stewardship of life. The stewardship of life is not simply, my friends, dealing with how much we give or how much we keep from God. The stewardship of life has to do with a keen sense that all of life belongs to God, and if I am to please God, I do not take my life in segments, giving it to God, and feel that he can take control of this and I will take control of this. It reminds me of the story I heard of the farmer who was planning to give God. He knew that his cow was going to give birth to twins. And the morning he woke up and he went to the barn and he found that the twins were born. One was dead. And he went back into the house and said to his wife, "The cow gave birth, but the one I was going to give to the Lord died." It is easy to try and wiggle our way out. As someone said to me, sometimes we see giving to God, or tithing if you please, as a kind of business transaction we do with God. And I think 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us it is completely different. And I want to take you through this evening for the time allotted as we look and we consider what I call the motivation for Christian giving. Verses 1 to 3, the motivation for Christian giving. I suggest to you that, first of all, the motivation for Christian giving is a divine moving of God upon the hearts. And the Apostle Paul calls that the grace of God. What a wonderful word. The grace of God. I suggest to you that whether giving of finances or giving of oneself, it begins with a divine influence upon the heart of every believer. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, "I labored more than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." So that whether he was serving God with his energy, with his time, with his talents, whatever it was, he suggested that it began with a divine move of God. It began with a divine influence of God's Spirit, God's grace upon his heart. And Paul tells us something I think very interesting in this text. It is not only something that is unique to a certain group of people. This grace was given to all the churches in Macedonia. And I believe that Professor Denny is right when he said, this was not simply something that was uniquely then and not now. Not something that had to do with the past and not with the present. If any man, any woman is beginning to serve God, it is because there was a divine move upon that heart that caused that person to relinquish him or herself to God and that which he has. What is grace? It is not saving grace. It is not enduring grace. It is that grace, my friends, which the Apostle Paul will culminate in verse 9 and talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the ability where the Spirit of God does something. No one can say exactly what it is, but he moves upon the heart, and we find ourselves opening our hands with all that we are and all that we have, making those things available to God. Surrendering what we are and what we have to God, not saying that this is mine and this is his. People do this with tithing. Have you heard it? Is it my net or my gross? Is it how much I keep or how much I give? Let me suggest to you, my friends, that God is not concerned about that. In the sense of grace, he's not concerned. Because if God owns us, he will own what we possess, as we shall see in a minute. And so the grace of God is absolutely essential so that people never feel the pressure, people never feel the push, people never feel the manipulation that is so actually rampant in our time when people are trying to get people to give. It begins with a divine moving of God, and we have gotten so used to doing things for God that we have little knowledge of God doing things in us so that we might relinquish things to him. It's a divine source. We'll develop that more in a few minutes. But I want to suggest to you that another motivation is that of sacrifice. Sacrifice. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Sacrifice. If someone, my friend, is going to give out of what that person has in abundance, no sacrifice is needed. If someone has very little and they do not have enough to go around, sometimes even within the confines of their own family setting, that is sacrifice. And this is what we have with these people. Their situation was not conducive to giving. Their ability to give, my friends, was actually not out of their abundance. The ability was the grace of God moving upon their heart so that the little they had became the possession of God. The little they possess became something wonderful in the hand of God, in their hands, so that they could now experience a joy that they could not have if they were looking at what they had, what was needed, and what they could afford to give. I think Professor Hughes is right. Philip Hughes, great, great teacher, says this: Christian giving is estimated not in terms of quantity, but of sacrifice. Christian giving is estimated not in terms of quantity. Later on in the series, we'll talk about the woman who had just the mite to give. And when Jesus looked at what she was giving, he made the comparison with those who had abundance to give and felt nothing in giving. And this woman who had just a little bit and was able to give, what was the difference between the two givers? The grace of God. The grace of God. And so this sacrifice has to do, my friends, with looking not so much upon how much I have to give, but the willingness to give, whether it is little, but it is given out of a deep sense of having released it to God, and he's able to take it. I will not forget the story of Dr. William Friel. You may have heard me tell it, but it fits right here. Dr. Friel is the founder, now the former founder of Trans World Radio. And he tells the story of being in Poland. As he went by the help of some friends and a translator, they went into a little shack, a little 2x4 shack, where one little lady and her two children lived. And she asked Dr. Friel through the interpreter, why is it that Trans World Radio was only heard for half hour each day in the place where she lived? And Dr. Friel said to her, well, there's only so much money, and we can only afford to send a program in this area for a short amount of time. So she asked for an excuse, and she pulled her cloth curtain, went behind and came out, and brought some Polish money to Dr. Friel. And she was giving this money to Dr. Friel, and Dr. Friel said, no, I can't take your money. Look at your surroundings in which you live. I could never do that, but I want to hear the program some more. And Dr. Friel said, I'll tell you what I'll do. And Dr. Friel tells the story. I heard him telling it. He said he put his hand in his pocket, pulled his wallet out, and said to the lady, listen, you keep your money, and I am going to give an amount to represent you. And she looked at Dr. Friel with a sense of conviction and anger, and she said, but sir, you do not understand. I'm not giving this to you. I'm giving this to God. You see, out of her poverty, she was willing to make the sacrifice because, friends, only grace can allow us to, or free us to make sacrifices. We do not make sacrifices without the divine influence upon our hearts. We say, okay, this is what I can give. This is for God. This is for me. This is for this. When it is grace, we say, this belongs to God. Period. Because we understand that everything we have, we really have from God. And so the motivation for Christian giving is, number one, a divine source, grace. It is also, my friends, a deliberate or definite sacrifice. We shall see this again in a few minutes. Look at the method of Christian giving. 2 Corinthians 8, 4 to 8. Look at the priority. What is the priority in Christian giving? I went through different translations and got this. They gave of their own accord, says our translation. They first gave themselves. They gave of their own free will. They gave from the impulse of their hearts. They gave without the slightest urging from anyone else. No one can be fully surrendered to God. Keep this in mind, friends. No one can be fully surrendered to God and tries to see how much he will keep his possession from God. First, the text tells us the priority in Christian giving is the giving of oneself, the surrendering. They gave of their own accord. Look, there was nobody standing up saying, this is what you should do. This is how much you should give. This is what you should do with what you have. They actually felt the urge from within. They were so free from the pressures from without that any motivation in giving at all had to do, my friends, with what was happening within them by the grace of God. And so they gave first themselves. They released themselves because if God had them, then he had what they had. Look at the pressure for giving. Verse 4. And begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Or the King James says, praying us with much entreaty. I want you to see something here. The pressure to give was not from outside. The pressure to give was the poor people saying, we want to give. Isn't that an exciting prospect? To have a church where people say, nobody has to tell me that there are needs in the church. I give freely. I am set free from any kind of putting hands on. My hands are upside down and I serve God with what I have. They begged us. The people are pleading for the privilege of participating in this ministry of giving. The act of giving, my friends, is contrary to some of the things we... This act of giving is contrary to some of the things we hear today. You remember this one? Do you remember this one? God said, if I don't get $1 million, he called me home. I said to someone, well, let him go home. Isn't that the ultimate goal of the Christian? What is so unique about God saying, I'm going to call you to heaven if you don't have $1 million? That's manipulation, friends. These people begged. Or the other one, I remember, someone shared it with me. They were in the audience where this took place. God told me that I'm not supposed to leave Toronto until I get $25,000. He had $18,000 when he said that at the end of his meeting. And he stood on that platform until $25,000 was raised. Or how about this one? Go to your bank and borrow money so that this ministry can go on. Go to the bank and borrow money? Look at these people. No one told them, no one sang them a sorrowful song saying, this is what's happening. Do you know, friends, that from this text what we learn? That giving is not determined by people's needs. How much we'll give is determined by that. But giving itself is not determined by people's needs. Giving is determined by the influence of grace upon the heart. people will freely give when grace is working, because it is the nature of grace to give. It's not the nature of grace to keep. The nature of grace is always to release, never to embrace as such, to keep for ourselves. In Exodus chapter 25, perhaps we should read it, Exodus 25 and verse 2, in the building of the tabernacle. Listen to what we find way back there in Exodus, what God is saying of the people. So this is not an old principle, a new principle, it's an old one. Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution, not from a reluctant giver, not from someone who wants to say how much I can keep, but someone whose heart moves them, him or her, to give. I love that. That's the kind of giving I like. Someone who checked the offerings this morning said to me, the offerings this morning was excellent. And all I could say was, thanks be to God. Because God moved the hearts of the people to give. No one stood up here this morning and said, we need X number of thousands of dollars. And I hope no one ever will. We can make known the needs. I think it is right to make it known. Exodus 25 says that. But my friends, to plead and to beg and to push people and to manipulate people, that's not a part of biblical giving. They were moved by grace, and Paul said in verse 7, I wish that Titus will allow this grace to move in you as well. And so the pressure for giving is never from without. It is from within. Thirdly, the purpose for Christian giving. The purpose of Christian giving. Look at it again in verse 4 of our text. Begging us with much pleading. This is what they say out of the word. Entreaty. For the favor of participation in the support of the saints. The purpose for giving, my friends, listen. The purpose for giving is never that I might be rewarded, notwithstanding I may. The purpose for giving is to know the joy of grace as it is extended to others. They begged for the participation of this ministry, this service. Giving, my friends, is a ministry which God has given to every believer. And this ministry comes to us through divine grace working in our hearts so that we are made aware of what is needed and we are free, no matter what we have, no matter how much we have, to say, God has need of this, and I will release what I have to him. Now let me suggest to you that I am still learning that. One of the things I seek to practice every 2 weeks when I get my paycheck, every 2 weeks, the first thing I try to do is to honor the Lord with the first fruit of my substance. Because by doing that, I am saying it all belongs to you anyway. And so I release it to him. Lord, this belongs to you. This is an act of the grace of God. I don't want to see how much I need to live on. I want to be released as I have purposed in my heart to give to God, so that no one will come to my door and say, it has happened, friends. You're making so much. This is how much you ought to be giving. It has happened. I say that as a testimony, not in any boastful way. So what's the purpose of giving? The purpose for giving, my friends, is never bargaining with God to give me because I have given. The purpose for giving is to fulfill a heartfelt obligation to the service of ministering to God and to others with my possession. Thirdly and lastly, the model for Christian giving, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Look at his credential, the credential of our model. The Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is his name of absolute authority. Jesus is his redemptive name. Christ is his messianic name. And Paul coins the full title of our Lord because he wants you to know what the credential of his model is. The Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen him full of grace. I want you to know who he is. The pattern that stands before us forever is this one of Christ, the Lord Jesus. He is our model for giving. If we want to know how to give, then look at him. Don't look at any other. So that's his credentials. It's a divine credential. Look at his credits. He was rich. You know, there's an interesting thing. Almost every 2 months, I get a letter from American Express saying, "You have been chosen as one of the favorites of Canada." And you know, I think it was Murray Bennett that stood up here a few nights ago when I introduced him and said, "The Lord will forgive me for listening to what you had to say." I talked about what Murray had done. And sometimes when you get those things, how in the world does American Express know who I am? How then? I'll tell you how they know. Well, you know how they know. And it's a temptation to believe that stuff. You have been chosen. Wow. 18.5% per annum. What is the motivation? The motivation is for me to use their card so they get their 18.5%. And if I believe that stuff, my friends, it would be so easy to say, okay, for 6 months it's only 9.6%. It tells you I've been reading this stuff, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you where it went. It went where I'll never see it again until the next letter comes. They think that I have money. I tell people, by the way, I take my car to the bank every 2 weeks so the car could get to see its real owner. That's how they got my name. I'm not rich. If I have to give, I look at what I need. I look at what my demands are, the water bills. I look at what my demands are, the things that I owe. And I have to pay these things off. And for me, it's a sacrifice. But listen, Jesus Christ was rich. Paul takes us back into the eternities where Christ knew the glories of God, the fullness of God in himself. He stood before the Father without any embarrassment. He shared in the glory of the Godhead. Listen to these. Leviticus 25:23. All the land is mine. Psalm 24:1. The earth is mine. Psalm 50 verse 10. The beast of the field, mine. Haggai 2:8. Silver and gold are mine. Ezekiel 18:4. All the souls are mine. Christ was rich. He didn't need anything or anyone. And here, my friend, is where we understand this. He was rich in grace, and grace always releases. And the pattern for giving is in our Lord, who, though he had need of no one or anything, surrendered what was there. This is the condescension of the model. He made a sacrifice. He gave up. He released, hear the words of Wesley, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. He gave up. Here is sacrifice of the highest kind. The word sacrifice in Latin comes from two words. And when you study the prefix and the suffix of the word, you know what the word literally means, the word sacrifice in Latin? It literally means to make sacred. To make sacred. So that when we take what the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, moves us to give, and surrender to God with ourselves, we make it something sacred unto God. He takes what we give, and He's able to multiply them whichever way He sees fit, because they have been given to Him from lives that are surrendered to Him, lives that are willing to make sacrifices, and every sacrifice that a surrendered life makes on the behalf of God is something sacred to God. I hope that makes sense to you, friends. Because I believe that God is not asking us to give beyond our ability. Grace is giving as God directs, never giving as man manipulates. And so the model, who made Him give up all of heaven's glory to come? No one outside of the Godhead. He was not pressured. The angels didn't say, look at what's happening to these people. Why do I have to take care of Lot? Why do I have to take care of Gideon? The angels had nothing to do with the condescension of the sacrifice of Christ. It had everything to do from within Himself. And the beauty of grace, my friends, is that grace releases us to make sacrifices to God that people do not understand. People do not understand. He became poor without any kind of human significance. Isaiah said when we look at Him, there wasn't anything that would make us want to be with Him. Yet this was the Lord of glory. There, what a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. Giving is motivated by grace in the saints as it is in the Savior. It requires everything that is worthwhile requires this kind of sacrifice. And lastly, look at the concern of the model. For your sake. Here, my friends, is the concern of the Savior. For your sakes, He became poor. He made a sacrifice on the behalf of you, of me. The sacrifice of the eternal Son was to release Himself to sinners. From the Father's presence, He condescended to where we are because of us. If you look in verse 4, you know what it says? Verse 4 says the very same thing. They ask for the privilege of participating in the ministry to the saints. Giving, my friends, is always motivated by grace for the elevation of those who receive it. It is never for reward for me. It is never that I might have to do what I want to do. It is that I might release so that others might benefit from the act of grace through me. And when that happens, Paul says by inspiration, there was an abundance of joy. And out of that sacrificial giving pattern after the Lord Jesus Christ, they had joy beyond description. Paul will culminate this series in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. And I have made the mistake, and I say the mistake, I will do it now, but not with the same motive. I've made the mistake by using 2 Corinthians 9 and 15 as a Christmas text. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That is true. Jesus Christ is an unspeakable gift from God, but that's not what that text is talking about. 2 Corinthians 9:15 is saying, thanks be to God for the gift of grace that can move me, a selfish, self-centered individual, move me to be selfless, to make a sacrifice on the behalf of another. If you know the human heart, that takes the grace of God. And thanks be to God, He has given us that grace. The principle for Christian giving, my friends, is a divine source. It has nothing to do with someone coming and tell you how much you ought to give. I have a friend down in Don Mills. And for 30 years, he did not go to church. 30 years. Because someone came to his home one Saturday morning, knocked on the door, and said, "We notice that you have not been giving, and we know that your job brings in X number of dollars, and we think that this is how much you should be giving to the church." He showed them the door and never entered the church door again. That, my friend, is not grace. Grace is, who has need that I know about? I am free, like that Polish lady, to take the little that I have, to make a sacrifice, and only the grace of God can do that, and to give, and to know the joy of giving, because it is motivated by divine grace. May God give us insight into the text as we serve him here, waiting for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.